Hey everybody, before we get started, I do have a small message from one of our fellow podcasters.
RPG Major is an actual play like no other.
Welcome to Snapdragon Landscaping and Investigations.
I know you guys handle mysteries that are non-standard.
I think that one of my coworkers is a changeling.
I was conjured. I am the Pirate King Fabio from the books.
You're not asking the questions that normal people ask.
Can I do a quick check to figure out if this man is a ghost and doesn't know it?
Sure. I'm gonna need a discipline check.
Oh no!
Give me a... Actually, if your song about this is good enough, it'll just happen. So make it a good one.
Cause it's not just magic tricks. This ritual is dead.
That's right. It's a musical, but all the songs are made up on the spot.
You're not lying to me.
You've seen me try to lie.
Now raise your voice and take your place in this world.
I never wanted to hate you. I never wanted you to be gone. You have to understand that I don't know how much I can even trust you right now. Do you know why I even came here today?
I lost you.
Mystery, storytelling with heart, and new songs every week. Subscribe to RPG Major.
So, if you get a chance, give them a listen. Thank you very much, and back to our show. Welcome back to Big Campaign Stories. I'm Jeff, your GM and narrator, and we are doing a special backstory episode. Well, yeah, it's a backstory episode. With our wonderful and everyone's favorite Illican, Oswald.
Hey everybody, it's Jesse. I am your favorite Illican. Jeff said so, and now it's true.
It's 100% the Illican players. You are top of the charts, my friend.
Yes.
But with that said, before we get started, let's get... a lightsaber check.
Oh, sure. Let's see. Just to remind everybody, I am Oswald. I am playing an Illican. I don't know where I'm at in this time period, so I'm probably not Inquisitor yet, but, you know, I'm younger, and I've got some class levels and some skill points, and I rolled a 15 on my lightsaber check.
Alrighty. Well, to start us off here, Oswald, we're looking at the time that you came to Duskbanter to get your, basically, adventuring life started.
Mm-hmm.
Having left home in Pauldron, taking the airship across, you would have landed at the airport here in Duskbanter Central. First time walking out into the big city. Hedron vehicles abuzz, people moving to and fro, buildings that far outshine anything you've seen on Pauldron.
I imagine my eyes are just real big, and I'm just taking it all in for a minute. Not even sure like how to like get around in this town yet.
Yeah, and imagine that, what? Oh, you've got some money saved, so you can start looking for a place, but... Mm-hmm.
Yep, I imagine my parents probably also gave me a little bit of pocket money as a good luck in the big city gift.
Yeah, absolutely, and kind of with that, that ripcord idea of, you know, if anything goes wrong, you give us a call.
Yeah. We'll buy you an airship ticket, and you can come right back home. Yeah, yeah, I think I'm probably 18. I maybe have just turned 19, but I'm probably right around that age. Like I'm just out of school. And I'm trying to like go out and make something of myself. I'm trying to make it work, you know? So like right now, the idea that it's not going to work and I might have to go back to home is just not something I'm even thinking about yet. But I'm also, it's not like I've planned this very far ahead, so it's not like I have friends or somebody in Duskbanter whose couch I can crash on, so it's just Duskbanter's the big city and that's where the action is, so that's I'm gonna go see what I can find here.
Yeah, I mean, you'd probably be what compared to Pauldron, you'd be looking at what the various billboards, travel cats, saving squids, Mon advancements, airships, and Hedron vehicles that move about, flying over freeways. Very odd, I guess, what seeing this much like Seekers moving about, as Pauldron doesn't have that much kind of concentrated police force, right? Like, it's not.
Yeah.
Pauldron is by no means a small town. It is its own city, but it is definitely coming to a large town where construction's happening, noises are happening, people are yelling, talking, the bizarre amount of smells, food carts moving, about.
Pauldron doesn't have the feel of a metropolis in the way that Dusk Banter does. Dusk Banter, I'm walking out of the airport and it's like I'm in downtown Chicago or New York or something like that.
Yeah.
Whereas Pauldron was more like Bellingham, just bigger, like more spread out.
Yeah, where it's big enough that people know it, but when you think about it, it's like, oh, no, that's, you mean the city.
Yeah. So yeah, I imagine first order of business is thinking about like, okay, where am I going to sleep? Like I need a place to stay, and that's probably going to be like a cheap motel for the first night I'm in town. Because I don't even know where to start for like getting an apartment yet. You know, it's like I gotta have a place to sleep tonight before I can start looking for a place to stay a little more long term. And it probably won't be until like I get into the motel room before I really stop and think like, oh, I also need to find like food. I can't just come home and there's already food in the fridge like I'm used to.
Yeah, go ahead and give me that gather info.
Alrighty, let's see here. I think at this stage in his life, Oswald has no ranks in diplomacy because it's been it took a long time, even in the podcast, before Oswald had any ranks at all in it. So I think I'm at a straight up minus one. But with that, I got a total of 18.
Okay. Yeah, definitely. I mean, what? With the look of somebody from out of town, being fairly young, what? Headphones, Hedron mining gear on your back. Some caramelized squid in your pocket from Hobe and,
and whatever Vashon. I can eat on the airship.
Yeah. But somebody would direct you, if you're looking for a motel or if you're looking for a hostel, if you're just in town for a bit, there are smaller places to sleep. If you're asking about food, depending on who you hit up, you're getting the person who's like, oh, I know the best hole in the wall. It's over here. No, you got to try this. This guy does a great fun bicycle. Oh, there's new food carts over here. You got to head down towards the park. It's going to be the best place to get it. Or, you can always go with a standard kind of nutrient paste that Amon produces that comes to reconstituted nutrient breakfast sandwiches.
Oh, goodness. I am definitely not going for the nutrient paste. Certainly not on my first day in town. I don't yet feel like my money is limited yet because I haven't started burning through it. That'll happen faster than I want to admit, but I probably would. I imagine I'd be enticed by the smell of some kind of street food while I'm out and about. Whatever smells, like spicy and greasy and hot.
Yeah, that's probably where you get one of those Euro trucks.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah, just breads, meats, sauces, all cooked together and.
Yep, I'd probably get like an extra large, gyro thing.
Yeah, kind of served in like that ice cream cone of pita. It wouldn't be uncommon there for you to, after you get it, to get pestered by a couple of the local birds, a couple ravens that, squawk and yell, noticing you're a new person, not defending it right.
As right.
Trying to demand a bite of your food in that non-subtle avian way.
I might toss a couple of fries in the hopes that will distract them away from my held food, not really realizing that what I'm actually doing is just attracting like 20 more birds. I don't think Oswald has ever even considered staying in a hostel before. He's not really ever like traveled and certainly not tried to do it on the cheap before. But if somebody recommends it as like, yeah, this is, they're reasonably clean, reasonably safe, and definitely cheap, then he would at least check that out.
Yeah, definitely. Off of the main fairways, closer to like the train stations or bus stations is where you'd probably find the hostels.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, around any hostel, there's always going to be a bunch of food places that have kind of cheaper meals, smaller portions, but made for people that are coming and going all the time, right?
Sure.
But yeah, this would be a good place for you to basically kind of BS and talk with people that are traveling from other places, other cities, other countries. you know, this is where you'd see, you know, people from the Basia colleges and people on Erasmus from Mercadine, even a few walkabouts from Corlea.
Wow.
They're here, and but they're all on the younger side, so they're here to see the city and drink, have fun, and eat food.
Yeah, that's totally Oswald's jam. He's not really going to be any good at like being the person to get a conversation going, or be that person who leads a group in that kind of way. But he is going to be friendly and, you know, definitely interested in like going out of his comfort zone and like talking to people and just, you know, maybe not being as socially graceful as somebody else might be. But he'll be eager and friendly. Probably end up like revealing things about himself that like in retrospect might not be the right thing to reveal to complete strangers on your first day in town.
No, that's very fair.
Might not realize that it's not a good idea to say like, oh yeah, my mom gave me so much money, you know, X amount of money before I came into town, right before I go to sleep in this like shared living arrangement with strangers.
Oh, I know you have your Hedron bag. You have your Hedron equipment on, but does Oswald have like a rolly suitcase?
Oh, that's a good question.
Because you wouldn't really be well fit to like have the big traveler's bag on.
Yeah,
you can't use your Hedron mining gear.
I mean, he's been wearing the Hedron gear for at least a couple years already because he was using it to deliver newspapers back in Pauldron. So he's pretty used to wearing it just as a normal part of his clothing these days. Which means his default would not be to like pack it away in favor of a more traditional backpack to carry his clothes or anything. So yeah, he probably does have like a small like a carry-on rolly suitcase with just like a couple of days worth of change of clothes in it, and probably that's about it, honestly, you know. he probably brought his skateboard from home, but he doesn't really feel comfortable like riding it around on the city streets yet because, you know, like traffic is scary, like so he's probably just carrying it everywhere like a noob. So yeah, that's probably what he's got. A carry-on size suitcase with a couple changes of clothes in it. Suitcase, or not a suitcase, a skateboard. Like two pieces of caramelized squid left in his pockets. And, you know, he's probably wearing some like hoodie that has like a band logo on the front. You know, cargo shorts, oversized sneakers.
Oh yeah, and I guess what you said, you were you know, out of school, 18, 19. What time of year would Oswald have come here?
Probably summer.
Okay.
It's he probably like graduated and like graduated high school and like, you know, kind of considered what he wanted to do for a bit and like saw some of his friends going off to college. And, you know, it's not that Oswald is dumb. It's just like college was never really like part of his plan of how he thought his life was going to go. So it just wasn't something he really considered. And, you know, after like, he'd be that stereotypical kid like where you graduate high school, like, oh man, this is gonna be great. I'm not gonna have to go to school for like ever again, and I can just like chill. And it's like after like a month or two of that, it gets to be like July or August, you know, after you've graduated from high school, and you're like, boy, this is kind of boring. I need to like go do something. I need to go like I should probably go get a job and go start figuring out how to live on my own, and you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, that weird transition where you go from, oh, I see all my friends every day because we're in school together.
Uh-huh.
To, oh, nobody's here anymore.
Yes. Yeah. So, yeah, it's probably around, probably like 2 to 3 months after high school graduation. So
okay.
if it's the same as it is in our world, then, you know, that's going to make it like August-ish, August, September.
Perfect. So then, yeah, I mean, you'd be dealing with what, the oddities of what, sunlight bouncing off glass? And
yeah.
Warm concrete everywhere. Definitely, if you have a hoodie with a band on it, you're a little bit overdressed compared to a lot of people.
Yeah, I probably walk around with it unzipped most of the time.
But yeah, I mean, moving about the city, especially if you're in the center part where the airport is, it is very, very much, you know, business districts, large multi-lane streets. But there's stuff here. I mean, there's parks, there's libraries. Depending on what Oswald's trying to find, you may have to go further away from the center of Dusk Manor, leaving the shadow of the Ziggurat of Amon.
Yeah.
I guess Duskblade Tower wouldn't be here yet, so there'd be a park in that area.
And that's the park that is at one end of Kalmani Drive, right?
Correct, yeah.
Hey!
Yeah, I mean, especially summertime. I mean, if you, most hostels end up having, like, historical tours, or they do city tours and stuff.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't be hard for you to eventually find Oswald trailing with a group of people that would take you to Kalmani Drive. And, you know, that's where you'd see people skateboarding, people having fun, especially in the summertime, lounging about on hills, flying kites, painting, running drones.
Yeah. I think that first night Oswald would go to bed, think like saying, tomorrow I'm going to go start like looking for a job. And then what would actually happen is tomorrow he would like see these fun things to do that he's never seen before with these people he's never hung out before. And he's like, oh, well, clearly I should take advantage of like these fun opportunities that I've never seen before in Dust Banter. I could go look for a job tomorrow. So he'd probably do that for at least a solid week.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It would be very easy for Oswald to lose a week to food and hanging out, you know, getting to know a few people. And hostels are kind of fun for that, and the fact that people generally only stay for a few days. So, you know, people that you meet and hang out with, you have fun chatting with, they're gone in a couple days and new people show up. And so within a week or so, Oswald will be the old hand a little bit.
Yeah. Let me explain to you how this hostel works.
Yeah. Like, oh man, you got to go on that tour. It's really fun.
Yeah. If you're using the second floor toilet, make sure you flush twice.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't think he'd probably, be able to make it too much farther than a week before like he'd start to worry about like, my money's running out faster than I thought it would. Cause you know, he's eating out all the time. He's having to pay to stay in the hostel. And even though it's, you know, not a ton of money, it's still like money he's having to pay, and he's never had to really do that before. He would probably reluctantly set aside his comic of Sarah Beck Magellan and say, this is probably not the job I'm going to go get. I'm probably not going to be like an airship pirate or whatever. And instead he'd be like looking at a different comic of, I don't know, some like, you know, like old school detective comics type comics where it's like a Private Eye or something. Like Dick Tracy, like that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah. They've got a guy on the front, Noir Tales, featuring Holden Cox.
That's the name you're going with, really?
Hey, it's a Private Eye.
Oh. All right. He's always been intrigued by the idea of being a detective and like doing that kind of work and like doing investigations and like, you know, he doesn't really fully understand like what all would be involved in it because he's only ever seen it from like an overly dramatized comic-y kind of point of view, but it seems like it'd be fun. So that's probably what he would try and look for his first like quote real job is like, how do I go become a detective? Like, how do I go do, you know, investigative work? Who does that in the city? And honestly, he might just like literally just pull up the HCOM and like get on the constant or like flip open the yellow pages or something and just see like what businesses exist that already do this in the city and just walk to the nearest one.
Go and give me a gather info, but since you're going to be using your HCOM or using Datapad, go and use Int for this.
Okay.
Sure, it's not vastly different from your charisma.
Well, my int at this time in my life is giving me a +1, but I rolled the 1 for a total of 2.
Excellent. Flawless.
Uh-huh. Foreshadowing.
Yeah, as you're looking up places, best you can find right now is either a job at like Applied Solutions, but that feels less detective-y and more murdery.
Yeah, I was gonna ask, does he know what Applied Solutions does, like, or is he just like, is he not able to see through the corporate speak?
Yeah, I figure with the one, there's kind of the what Oswald searching for jobs that let you find stuff, detective work, get bad guy. And
yeah,
it's like, and most of them are requiring a mercenary license.
Yeah, and I certainly do not have one of those.
Yeah, until finally it's like, you know, you'll see one of those pop-up ads that are like, do you have what it takes to be a coyote detective? accepting, accepting unpaid positions now. Get your foot in the door.
Huh. That seems like a promising place to start. It's even got detective in the name. And surely they can't expect people to stay unpaid for all that long, because who would do that? Like, this must be like a, I don't know, like a trial period of, you know, like you do it for like a day or a week or something, you know, a probationary period or something, right? Gotta be how it works. Maybe there's even back pay involved, as long as you don't fuck up too bad.
Yeah, I would say with that one, Oswald would be definitely in that place where it's like, oh, $50 to submit my resume, or 50 credits to submit my resume. That's a bargain.
Of course I'll be making more money than that, you know, every day inside of a week.
Yeah, easily.
And having fun doing it.
You would, of course, during this time, this week or so, be getting occasional messages, texts from your parents, just, how you liking the big city? How you doing?
Oh yeah, yeah. I'd be chatting with them when they get in touch with me. I'd probably be so distracted by what the city is like that I wouldn't be very good about proactively reaching out to them. But when they reach out to me, I would like set aside some time and talk with them and like catch them up on how things are going, and just, you know, talking up all the whatever fun things I did that day without any kind of like realization that maybe I should be putting a different spin on things and telling my parents that I've been like looking for a job or making good professional contacts or anything like that. That's he kind of in vacation mode, even though he's not saying that to himself, but that's where he is.
Nope, totally fair. They would try at least this early on not to bug you too directly. Mm-hmm. But they definitely, you definitely get those goodnight texts. Those.
Yeah. Yeah. That's some reminder. It's like, hey, just haven't heard from you today, so just wanted to wish you a good night. It's like, ah, shit.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he probably would be bad about, he probably would remember to like reach out to them proactively at least once over the course of that week, but it's, he'd be bad about doing it every day.
But yeah, you know, from your research, there's a coyote detective building here on the east side, close to what appears to be labeled something called the Spider Forest.
Huh. All right. I guess that's the place to head then. I'm definitely picturing, by the way, that my research, like the extent of that was like, you know, when you're walking down the street and like you see those newspaper boxes. I don't even know if those still exist anymore, honestly, now that I'm outing myself as an old man now, but I think they probably do. But like next to the paid newspaper boxes where like you put in like a dollar or whatever to get the local like city newspaper, there's also like the shitty free like ad filled things.
Yes.
He would have grabbed one of those and been flipping through that. And it's like, oh, look, jobs.
Yep. Nope. Perfect. Yep.
But yeah, I guess to get to the Coyote Detective offices, I'd probably, I don't know, get a taxi or something to take me out there if it's not walking distance, which it sounds like it's not.
Yeah, no, it would not be reasonable walking distance.
Yeah, or train, light rail, would that be a thing?
Yeah, I mean, you could definitely take light rail. I'd say with how good you were at navigating Pauldron, you definitely mm-hmm. got the feel for the inside of Dust Banter in this area. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you'd know the resources, you know, you could easily ask the hostel for basically train guides, light rail guides. So yeah. Like, oh, I want to get to here. How do I do that?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think I'd be, my default would be to like ask for general directions of how to get from A to B, but then like just go out in the world and go do it and go experience how to get from A to B. That's kind of how he learns an area. So
perfect. Yeah. Nope. With map in hand, you'll be able to hop the light rail and head up the east side. You're able to kind of chart like, okay, you're still in the main Rethi district, Dusk Banter area. Mm-hmm. But looks like this Coyote Detective building is close to something called the Sword Eye district.
Hmm. Okay. Name means nothing to me at this stage.
Yep. But yeah, various ads playing on the inside of the light rail as people kind of chat and go about their day. You see a lot of people commuting and what, just the general migratory patterns of people moving about a city that you imagine must happen in Pauldron. Maybe you were young and you never saw it.
Yeah, or maybe in like the, I mean, there must be more of like a business oriented like downtown core area somewhere in Upper Pauldron that just wasn't somewhere I'd go very often.
Yeah, this place is fun because it's new. You can't imagine hanging out in the boring part of Pauldron when you can go to the underside.
Yeah.
But after a couple hours of riding the light rail, you'll pull up at the stop, hop out. You can, you're close enough that you can probably smell a little bit of the ocean. But getting off that light rail, you can see the trees with their webbing and various kind of that glitter of silk as the sun hits it. Further away, and you can see, of course, the fencing that kind of blocks the forest from being able to interact with the light rail or anything like that. But in this northeastern part of Duskbanter,
I was just going to say, it's probably the first time occurring to Oswald that Spider Forest means something more than just, I don't know, just a cutesy name for it, you know? Like, sure, Spider Forest, in the same way that you might have, like, a Redwood Forest or whatever, or, you know, a Pine Forest. It's like, oh, yeah, sure, there's spiders. But it's like, oh, no, there's spiders big enough that, like, the webbing on the trees is noticeable from a distance.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, that's a different thing.
But like at home, people would check your tickets, make sure you get off at the right stop. You know, any questions you have, they have people there that would guide accordingly. And, oh, you're looking for the Coyote Detective Building? It's going to be four blocks down. You're taking left at Third. You're going to stick to your right-hand side as you go below the overpass and should be right there.
Okay, cool. It's got, like, the name on the outside of the building?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, should be easy then. Thank you.
But it'd be fun being further away from the actual city. You can look back and see the massive buildings, right? You can see the ziggurat. Riding a light rail like you did, you can already feel that, like, Pauldron would fit inside of where you were.
Yeah, and being on the light rail for a couple hours and getting out and turning around and still being able to see the city and still, like, am I still in the city, technically? Like, that would be weird.
Yeah. Like, you are still in the city. You're just in a part where you're like, oh, these buildings are more what I'm used to.
Yeah.
Like, these are not the skyscrapers. These are 10 stories, 8 stories.
Like, yeah. These are exurb business parks.
Yeah, and of course you'd get the slice of life stuff that you see, you know, people out there playing frisbee with their blink dogs, kids sitting outside having a cigarette, listening to music, just kind of city stuff, right?
You said kids smoking cigarettes, right? I didn't mishear that. Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah, no, that's and that probably feels a little more familiar, but, you know, less exciting. Like, I could see myself kind of fitting into that lifestyle fairly easily if I lived around here. I don't really have a good sense yet of, like, how I would transition to fitting into that lifestyle locally, you know, because I've never done that before. Like, that's always been, like, how you fit in has always been taken care of for me in the past by virtue of being in school.
Yeah, go ahead and give me a wisdom check.
Alrighty. I got a total of 18.
Nice. Okay. Yeah, it would occur to Oswald that you've seen hostels, you've seen hotels, you've seen motels, you've seen storage units, you've been on light rails. You have not seen, especially in the Dustband area, residential areas? Like, you're not running into homes. When you're talking about fitting in and all that, it's like, oh, you know, your parents had a house. You kind of had a small yard. Right. Roger doesn't have a lot of space, but, like, you had enough area that you could kind of, like, sit outside of your own home, you know?
Yeah.
That would be kind of one of those things like, well, you've seen parks, but you're not seeing houses.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. That'd be a shift for Oswald. But, I mean, not necessarily something that would strike him as, like, a problem. Because, like, sure, he appreciated, like, having a house and, like, being able to go outside and play in the yard with his friends or whatever when he was younger. Like, now that he thinks of himself as an adult and and is trying to imagine, like, what his future life might hold, having a yard feels like that feels like something that, like, parents have. I don't need that. I need just, like, somewhere small to, like, sleep, and I'm going to go out, like, out on the town and go to do cool things, like...
Nope, that tracks. Parents have yards.
Yeah. Oh, you have a yard? How old are your kids?
Yeah, no, totally. But passing underneath the overpass, you'll be struck with kind of a little bit of an odd feeling. You'll not quite disappointment, not quite sadness, but like you've missed something that you don't remember having. The corners and shadows here underneath the overpass, as you can hear the Hedron vehicles moving around you, they darken. Mm-hmm. Shadows extend, but as you step back under the light, they seem to be fine.
Yeah. I mean, that's probably going to remind me of, like, certain areas of being in Lower Pauldron where, like, you can't see the sky, and looks like, so sometimes there's going to be unexpected, like, things above you that kind of create unusual shadows. But here, it's like, okay, there's that sort of effect happening, but it's, you know, it's a freeway, or it's buildings in a way that in Pauldron, it's more like actual rock formations. So, like, the shadows are going to behave differently, and there's, you know, more streetlights and whatnot down here. So, yeah, it's just going to be, yeah, it'll be similar but different.
100%, exactly. You'll pass graffiti sprayed onto the wall of the overpass of "There Are No Saints Left" before you can see the orange logo of Coyote Detective.
Okay, yeah. I'll probably have, like, that hit of nervousness, because it's, like, just striking me, like, I'm about to go in and, like, try and get a job, and I've done that kind of before as a kid for a paper route, but this feels different. This feels like a bigger thing. So I probably have that, like, that spike of, like, my, I could feel my heart beating in my chest, like, oh, I'm actually nervous. Mm-hmm. So I'll probably take a minute to let that subside, and then I'll walk in the front door.
Yeah, you'll instantly go from that outside warm pavement smell to that air conditioned kind of awkward feeling where the air smells a little stale, but it's colder than it naturally should be, of course.
Yeah. They can never get the AC quite right, so it's always too cold.
Yeah. The human up at the front would welcome to Coyote Detective.
Hi, I'm here about getting a job. I read in the paper that you guys are hiring.
Oh, yeah. Our the complimentary internships?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, do you have a resume?
Yeah. and honestly, Oswald probably would have a resume, because he would have thought at least that far ahead. It's like, okay, yeah. And his resume is like, he's done that, like, stereotypical thing you do when you're in high school and you're like, you don't have enough words to put on the page, so you, like, pad it out with extra space and the font is a little bit too big. So yeah, it's got, you know, his like HCOM contact information on there. It's probably got, like, for a mailing address, because he knows he's supposed to put, like, an address on there. It's probably his parents' house in Pauldron, because that's the only street address he has. He's got, like, his high school experience on there, and his, you know, his GPA of, like, probably, he probably got, like, a 2.9, graduated with 2.9, I imagine.
Yeah.
You know, and, like, he took, like, one, maybe two, like, actual advanced classes, but the rest of it was just, like, normal boilerplate, like, whatever I can do to graduate kind of stuff. Probably took, like, half a year of a foreign language, and he's, like, talking about that on the resume.
Oh, yeah, no, the, what? Your PE and social studies are the ones really bringing up that GPA.
Exactly. And, you know, he'd have his little bit of work experience delivering papers in Pauldron, and, you know, contact from there, and try to, like, bullet point out as much as he can, like, what he was doing for that job. So, yeah, all in all, it's a not impressive resume, and it's probably obvious to anybody who's seen a resume.
Yeah, the person at the front desk will, oh, okay, well, if you don't mind waiting, I'll let REX know that you're here.
Oh, thank you. And I'll look around. I assume I'm in some kind of lobby that has, like, a place I could sit.
Yeah, the front desk, he'll mention, like, there's some coffee over to your right, bathroom's down the hall.
Thank you. And, yeah, I'll sit. I probably won't grab a coffee or use the bathroom. I'm just going to kind of, like, sit and look around. In that awkward way of, like, what do I...
Yeah, you have that wait, right? That it feels like forever. It's not that long, but it is long, right? It's about an hour. You occasionally see kind of detectives come in and out. You see other people come in and turn in stuff. The front desk person, of course, you know, knows everybody by name and chats them up a little bit. And it's a lot of people watching in a confined area. And so it feels weird, you know?
Yeah, so I'm trying not to stare at people and attract their attention, because that's going to invite conversations that I don't want to have. I'm trying not to, like, be on my HCOM, because, like, I'm trying to, like, be professional and be ready to, like, get up and, like, do the interview that I assume is coming. So there's a lot of just, like, sitting there and trying to act like I'm not bored, but I really am bored.
Yeah, you could probably see there's a vid screen over in the corner kind of playing Snow Days.
Mm-hmm. God, I imagine they have those, like, terrible, like, 7-month out of date magazines sitting on a coffee table, and I'd probably be reading through one of those.
Oh, yeah. What, the push bar out of it so you can hopefully find the one that has, like, highlights? Like,
yeah, exactly. One of these has to have some kind of, like, puzzle in it that I can do. Instead of, like, stories about beach houses in some other country or, like, the finer points of kitchen renovation or...
Yeah, you'd be looking at, what, some boring-ass looking magazine that has a young Corleon lawyer from Golden?
Boring. Celebrity news is the worst.
Yes, that would be a big thing is, yeah, celebrity news. Ugh. After the hour has passed, the person at the front desk will, Ariex is ready to see you.
Thank you. I'll stand up and go towards where I think I'm supposed to go.
Yeah, they'll point towards the elevator and go to the second floor. He'll be there for you.
Okay, thank you. Has anything been done with my resume during this hour that I've noticed?
If you handed
is it still sitting on the receptionist's desk?
If you handed a physical copy over, they would have sent a scan of it.
Okay.
If you'd sent a digital copy, they would have forwarded it.
Yeah, it would have been a physical copy.
Okay. So at some point during that hour, you would have definitely heard like the machine, the whirr, and get scanned and sent up.
Yep. And that was probably the one copy that I brought of my resume. So I don't have it anymore.
I mean, it got scanned, so they could hand you back that physical copy.
Sure, but I wouldn't ask for it. That'd be awkward.
But yeah, heading up REX is an older Lykel. You can see kind of the thinning on top, light blue skin, kind of the reddish hair that's turning white.
Mm-hmm.
As they'll put aside their cigarette on their desk, you can see like the ashtray filled with cigarette butts. You can see that they have a set of goggles with multiple lenses on it.
Oh, cool.
As they'll, Oswald? Oh, Rayland.
Yes, that's me. Pleasure to meet you, Mr. REX. And I'll extend a hand to Jake.
Yeah. He reaches out with the hand, but like does the handshake in the air before pulling it back.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, whatever. Yeah. Formality accomplished.
All right, Rayland, so we got to give you a chance here. All right, you think you got what it takes to be a coyote detective?
Yes.
Yeah, he's looking at the data pad, probably looking at your resume. All right, yeah, Pauldron, that's a good city. I've been there a couple times.
Yeah, I liked it a lot, but, you know, I'm looking for bigger and better places now.
I hear you. Everybody's got to get started somewhere. So, okay. Well, let's start with a common request. Something simple. Basic job. Here. And he'll... Do you have a data pad, or should I just send this to your HCOM, or...?
Just my HCOM. I don't have a data pad.
Yeah, he'll brush his data pad, and you'll hear a ding on your HCOM.
Should I get a data pad? I'll ask him. I know it's completely the wrong time to ask him that question, but that's when it'll occur to him.
Yeah, a lot of people find them pretty useful, but for now, you're still in the intern phase, so let's see how you do, and if it works out well, we can give you an advance on your paycheck and get you a data pad.
Okay, awesome.
All right, your mission, pretty straightforward, like I said, open the gates.
Say what?
Alpian Gates, his partner, she thinks he's going around behind her back. Get some evidence, bring it back. We can talk about getting you onto a starter detective license.
Oh, okay. Yes. And I'll be like patting myself for like a pad to like write down some notes.
Yeah.
I'm not finding one. I'll pull up the shitty little like notes app in my HCOM and like try and like tap in whatever I remember from what he just said.
Yeah. You'll see him pull out some papers from the trash bin next to his desk. Flip him over and push him towards you with a pen.
Thank you. And I'll write down Alpian Gates and cheating question mark. That's probably what I caught.
Looking at your HCOM, you can see Gates works for an Amon subsidiary, part of the Department of Sanitation and Waterworks. Looks like he's been moving a lot between a Lower West Side storage district and his home in kind of the South Arferi district.
Okay, so the obvious implication is that if he is cheating on his spouse, that the cheating is happening at this warehouse location or somewhere near to it.
Yeah.
It probably would not even occur to Oswald that this guy might not be cheating, and there's a perfectly reasonable explanation that he's going down there because it's his job.
Yeah, Erickson, you know, get some pictures, get some info, confirm what's happening. The client is paying for evidence, so...
Okay, yeah, I can do that. Should I start right now?
What? He already started, like, looking down his data pad and other things, looks up and... Yeah, get it done. We need this here by the end of the week.
All right, I can do that. Thank you, Mr. IX. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, take care, Raylan.
Oh, and I'll awkwardly leave and in the elevator down, be thinking about, like, okay, what's my first step here? Like, how do I even start this? Like, in the comics, it always looks so easy. Like, he just goes and, like, does some surveillance somewhere and, like, roughs up some people in a back alley or something and gets some, like, questions answered. It's like, evidence. So, yeah, I think his first step would probably be to head to that warehouse district area and just see if he can randomly spot this Gates fella without, I mean, is there a picture of Gates in the file?
There is. Yeah.
Okay. So he's at least got that.
Yes. Yeah. Nope. You got a picture. Of
he wouldn't have thought of that until he had gotten there, realized, like, oh, I didn't even know what this guy looks like.
Yeah. It'd be a little bit kind of one of those things where, like, you're looking at a PDF.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to, like, click the link that brings you to a full picture of him.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd probably head down to that area as direct to that address, if there is an address or if it's just a neighborhood or whatever, just get down to as close to that location as possible. And I don't know. I don't know how far away it is, but I'm picturing Oswald, like, taking the bus to get down there.
Yeah, so it's in the Lower West Side Storage District.
Mm-hmm.
You're looking at something across town, so it'll probably take you, light rail-wise, about 3 hours to get there.
Oof, okay, so that's far.
Yeah.
That's not a bus. So then, yeah, I'll take light rail to head out there.
Yeah, heading across. While you're riding the light rail, your phone will ring.
I'll look and see who it is.
Yeah, it's your father. It's...
Oh, yeah, I'll answer. I've got hours ahead of me on the light rail. It's a good time to have a chat with my dad.
Yeah, he'll kind of just, oh, hey, Ozzy, I just want to check in on you and...
Oh, hi, Dad. How's it going? Yeah, I guess I'm on a job right now. But it's cool. I'm on the train right now, so I can talk. It's fine.
Oh, wow. Wow. Nice. Where are you working?
Coyote Detectives.
Oh, fun. That's, you've always been interested in that.
Yeah, I think it's going to work out. I mean, you know, it's my first day. It's my first job. So, you know, but I got a good feeling about it. I just got hired by Mr. REX, and he seems nice, and, you know, now I'm going out and, you know, doing some detectiving.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, no, Vashon just got accepted into the Basia Colleges for a planner degree.
Oh, awesome. Good for her.
Yeah, no, I'm going to go pick up your mother here in just a little bit. I just wanted to check on you and make sure everything's going well. And
Yeah. I mean, I guess everything's going good. You know, like I say, it's my first day.
Yeah. Yep. No, you've been there for a bit. Just wanted to make sure. And just checking. You mentioned that place. Did you consume the soul or the mind?
Did I do what?
Solar Mind. Wasn't that the name of that skateboard creator that you were talking about? You wanted to.
Oh. Oh, yeah. But those boards are really expensive. I've been looking at them for a while, but, you know, I gotta wait till I get my first paycheck first.
Oh, right. Yep. I mean, are you good on money? Do you need to send you anything?
And I'm like thinking about, like, how thin my wallet's getting. And it's like, I think I'm okay. I should be getting my first paycheck pretty soon, so I think I'll be all right until then. All right, reality, well, I'm not actually sure that I will be fine until then, yeah. But it's embarrassing to admit to your parents that you would like them to send you money.
All right, Ozzy. Well, I love you. Be safe. I'm going to go pick up your mother.
All right. Love you too, Dad. I guess I should give Ash on a call, huh?
Oh, yeah. I know she's busy, but yeah. Give her a call when you can.
Yeah, I'll do that. All right. Thanks, Dad. Tell Mom I love her.
All right. Will do. Take care, Ozzy.
Right, bye.
But yeah, later afternoon, as you're cutting across the city, riding light rail, what that slow procession of like every stop more people get off and only a few people get on, till you're looking at probably late afternoon by the time you get to the West Side Storage District. And here's where you would start to see actually that residential that you were missing in other areas.
Okay.
Shipping containers that have been kind of converted into two-style homes. No yards, of course, or anything like that, but lots of what was probably larger houses that have been shifted to become like five-bedroom kind of apartments that have like shared kitchens.
Okay, yeah. I think I've got the right idea.
More businesses that look like they're also living areas.
Yeah. So this probably was like, who knows how long ago, this was probably like some small town that was just, you know, doing its own thing and eventually just got absorbed by Dust Banter.
Mm-hmm.
And what used to be like single family homes have now been chopped up into, you know, much more modest living accommodations.
No, absolutely. And especially as the light rail would cut through the center of the city away from the airport, you would notice that there are the skyscrapers, though, are businesses for the most part. Once they pass about the 20th floor, they do seem to have walkways or bridges between buildings that you can kind of tell looks like there are more apartments the further up you go.
Okay.
Kind of maintaining a larger version of what you're seeing now of like, you might see a burger shop with somebody who lives above it, but you're looking at law firms and skyscrapers and then apartment complexes that are on top of those in the heart of the city.
Yeah, and I'll start to wonder, like, huh, is it like everybody in the building is in the building? Like, if you work in those law offices, do you then live in the apartments higher up in that same tower? Is that how it works?
Yeah,
like, you have no idea, like, how the logistics of that would pan out yet, you know? There can't possibly be that many people working at that law firm. Or maybe there are. One business per building? Is that how it works? Even in skyscrapers?
But as night starts to fall, as you get to the West Side Storage District, occasionally you'll catch glimpses of the lights reflected from the light rail on buildings as it zooms by.
Mm-hmm.
But go and give me a perception check.
Alrighty. Perception. Oop. This I would have at least one rank in. So I'm going to say I'm at like a +5 right now, probably. Hey, I got a total of 17.
It's hard to make out, but you think that there are, I don't know, maybe it's like the Karin you guys have back at home, like the crabs in the water and all that.
Uh-huh.
But there are like dogs chasing cars. Like there are forms that seem to keep up with the light rail.
Uh-huh.
Like kind of bright eyes and kind of glowing dots as the forms rapidly move across buildings and close to it. But the second it hits the light and leaves the shadow of a building, they're gone.
Huh. That's weird. I mean, it kind of reminds me of, you know, like when you're inside like a light rail at night and it's like well lit inside the train, like you'll sometimes get weird like reflections on the glass and it's like it's sometimes hard to tell whether that's actually outside or whether it's just like it's actually the other side of the train just like shining through the window and bouncing off the window you're looking out, that kind of thing. So, yeah. But I mean, you know, I'm interested. I'll like be trying to watch for whatever these things are to learn more about this place I now live. If there are like, I don't know, weird like ghost possums, I want to know about that.
But as you get closer to that west side, you will also spot a familiar looking building that you will recognize as Rayland Orphanage 23 East.
That is wild. I probably had no idea that like what neighborhood that the orphanage was in. You know, because like when you're that young, like you don't really think about like where you are in the world, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that'll, I don't know. That'll bring up some complicated memories for Oswald and probably not very clear ones either. Like it wasn't that he had a bad time in the orphanage per se. It's, you know, it's not like he was like Oliver Twist or something.
Yeah.
But he certainly had a much better time after he was adopted. So, yeah, he'll just say it'd probably be one of those like, huh. And he'll be just kind of like distracted and lost in thought. And I mean, honestly, he would probably even miss his stop if it's coming up soon.
Nope, that's fair. And eventually, noticing you've missed the stop, getting off of the next one, you'd hear the chime of the person on the light rail of the exit to your right, open the gates and continue forward.
All right. Yeah, I'll walk out the train and I guess head through the platform and look for how I get down to the main street.
Yeah, you've only missed your exit by one stop, but it is kind of fun, right? You walk out into an area that feels more at home, but still feels like the city. You can see people setting up kind of neighborhood dinners between the various storage containers, the multi-level apartments and all that. There's kids outside playing. There's people talking. There's table set up. There's people grilling outside together. And so you get the smells of various kind of street food, but made at home.
Yeah. Okay, cool. This feels like, although the cramped, like street oriented environment is unfamiliar, like the vibe of the families here probably resonates with me pretty strongly. So yeah.
You definitely get that nostalgia feeling of seeing like a pile of like young halflings running around.
Yeah.
While older halflings and lizard folk are grilling meat and
are they being cool? The halflings.
I mean, right now they're pretty young. They're pretty cool.
Yeah, I'll probably smile a little bit at them and like have that moment of like, haha, I'm so adult, that used to be me.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, I still am much closer to them than I am to like anybody else on the street. Yeah, I'll probably like just kind of smile and you know, take in the spells and the sounds for a little bit. I don't have like a specific time that I'm trying to be at my destination by. It's not like I have information in the portfolio or whatever that like he's clocking in for a shift in the warehouse district or something. He's just been seen down there. So for all I know, I mean, it might be the entirely wrong time of day. I might need to wait 12 hours before he's even anywhere in the area, let alone that he's going to walk in front of me and I'll happen to spot him. So yeah, I won't necessarily feel like I need to urgently be on my way to backtrack to the previous spot.
Okay. If you're not urgently trying to backtrack and you're taking the environment sites, you would eventually have that moment where an older halfling that's working the grills and see somebody who looks clearly out of place, right?
Yeah.
Be like, oh, Pavino, take a seat, eat some food.
Oh, and I'll probably have that moment of like looking around like, are they talking to me?
Yeah, the older lady's looking at you and a lizard folk will kind of walk up and please, please. And we'll sit down kind of like a soup and...
Oh, okay. And I'm like worried that what I've stumbled into is like some kind of like business that I did not recognize as such. And I'm about to like have to pay for food that I wasn't expecting to do. but yeah, I mean, at this point, I don't see a way to gracefully exit, so I will awkwardly sit down.
Yeah, no, they'll make sure you have some food. They'll try to chat you up, and if you're willing to talk, they'll talk with you. But if you're not, they're fine.
I'll talk with them. Yeah. I doubt that halfling is the language that I have half a year's experience from high school in. It was probably whatever is like closest to common. So like, you know, it'd be the high school equivalent of like taking the easiest language.
I mean, honestly, I imagine it would have been Android.
See, I thought maybe Android, but I was like, I wouldn't necessarily. I thought maybe I wouldn't do Android specifically because like my parents are Androids. And so then it's like there's that embarrassing thing of like, oh, I've never really like put a ton of effort into learning Android at home. And so if I was in a class learning Android in high school and it came out that I have Android parents, they would expect me to be way better at it than I already am.
No, that's fair.
So, I don't know. Corlian? Is Corlian easy comparatively?
Yeah, Corlian works. Yeah.
I'll chat with the halfling and the lizard folk if they're sticking around. And just, you know, thank them for their food and ask them like, oh, it's so you guys just live around here and just feed anybody on the street? What's
Yeah, they'd laugh and yes, we do weekly block dinners.
Oh, well, that's really cool. Have you always done that? Does everybody do that? I'm looking around like expecting to see like just other tables just like set up on the street where everybody's just coming out and eating.
I mean, there are other tables. A lot of people, especially in the summer, grilling outside and cooking outside. Because it gets too warm inside.
Okay.
They'd be like, yeah, a lot of neighborhoods do.
Oh, that's really cool. How long have you lived here?
Liz Folk, he'd say 5 years.
Oh.
And the halflings and our whole lives.
Oh, that's cool.
But you'd see, like, what? Paltrin doesn't really have a lot of gangs in the same way that Dust Banter does.
Yeah.
You definitely see, like, a table that is a group of people that look similar. All of them looking fairly derelict, fairly unhoused. But you've probably picked it up a little bit from the hustle of, like, the Gelatinous Cube gangs. People that kind of live on the streets and watch from the streets. But you see that they're here and, you know, they clean their plates. They tidy up after themselves. And there's just a table given to them as well.
Uh-huh.
You know, you'd probably see a few drunken moon rats having a blast. And
okay. Yeah. That's, that probably does not really well match up to my starting assumptions of what gangs would be like. So yeah, he'll be interested to see how that goes, and just seeing what the differences are between whatever gangs happen by. Just seeing like, oh, it's not like, I don't know, violence and drugs. It's street community. Or street family, maybe. And, you know, that might be a way for him to think about it. It's like, oh, maybe that's, like, a fairly normal thing to happen if, like, you don't get adopted from the orphanage. Like, you end up, that's your family after the orphanage instead of, like, a real family. And, you know, in that moment, Oswald's starting to, like, grow a little bit and think about, like, oh, maybe family means different things to different people.
No, very fair. And especially once the halfling couple finds out that you're a Rayland, as well as that you're living in a hostel, they'll say, well, if you like it here, when you're ready, you can come back and there are rooms for rent.
Oh, thank you. Okay. How much is the rent?
Yeah, generally it's about 30 credits a week.
Oh, and I don't really have a good basis of comparison, so I don't know if that's a lot or a little, and I haven't yet gotten a paycheck, so I don't know if I'm going to be able to cover that or not. What I do know is that the job that I started today is a 3-hour light rail ride away. So, so yeah, I'll probably say, well, thank you. I don't know yet. I just started a job today. That's 3 hours away. So maybe I should live closer to that, but I don't know. I don't know. Maybe the job is going to have me working here for a while. So
yeah, they'll take your time. But they'll move on to other tables and talk with other families, and some of the halfling kids nearby will come over and poke at your Keydron mining gear and sweet skateboard.
Oh yeah. Yeah, do they have boards?
They do not. There's a couple of the older kids, one pushing like what, the 12 to 14 range.
Yeah.
That have made their own skateboards.
Awesome. I will definitely, wherever I'm at in my eating, I will stop and immediately divert to hanging out with these kids and skateboarding with them. any of them that don't have their own boards, I'll let them, like, you know, take turns on mine, you know, show them, like, whatever rudimentary tricks I can do. I might like, demonstrate how the mining gear works from, you know, a little bit, just like, oh, it works like this. And I'll, like, shoot it into a wall and see, it pulls me up. Zoop.
Yeah, no, definitely you will absolutely garner the attention of all the children once you can start skateboarding on the side of a building or even pull off, like, the facsimile of those tricks, right? Like,
right. Yeah, I'll make believe like I am, and really I'm just, like, dangling from a grapple line and just, like, rappelling along the side of the wall while holding a skateboard under my feet.
Yeah, like, kind of that cool way of, like, when you're in a pool and you can hold on to the edge but put your feet on the wall and you're like, yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. But yeah, I'll try and show them how to do some, like, basic tricks on their skateboards if they don't, you know, any of them that want to learn that kind of thing. So I'm not, like, you know, Tony Hawk or anything, but, you know, I could do some basic stuff.
No, absolutely. Of course, the people in the neighborhood that see you doing this and seeing all the kids following, clapping, laughing, and they will all kind of join in, right? There's a very community sense of fun of seeing this as the sun's setting and the city's starting to turn to night, and start seeing all those neon lights coming on. Those billboards become brighter with the absence of light.
Yeah. Shadows probably are becoming starker. Yeah. Yeah, I want to say that I would at some point realize that, oh, I should probably be on my way and, like, get to work. but I don't know. I might be distracted enough that I lose track of time hanging out with these kids until like they start filtering away because it's their bedtime.
Yeah, as night really starts to set in, as the adults now start bringing out beverages and children are going to bed, though the people are still out here, as the shadow of the ziggurat cuts across the city as the sun sets, you'll start to get a feeling of unease. Mm. Those large skyscrapers seem to bend a bit awkwardly. Building glass seems to break and shatter, as you can see multitudes of eyes looking out from the buildings. Oh. The street itself begins to kind of crumble and break as cement starts to take on a more chitinous feel to it. Skyscrapers themselves seem to, as they're bending away, join to a massive looming form. You see the multi-jawed titan of the Far Realm, its anger and predatory nature apparent in all of its movements, as the buildings you once know simply seem to break into large mantis-like claws, blotting out what little was left of the sun. Hounds in their multitude rush the streets, pushing people aside, dragging them as you are clinging to the wall, their bioluminescence flashing in dangerous and hypnotic patterns. And amongst this throng, you can see the metallic bodies of your parents, their limbs distorted and stretched, their sharp quills and deep sea eyes make eye contact with you before you wake up, as everyone is staring at you as you see a large syringe is jammed in your chest.
I am in a cold sweat, breathing hard. The heart is jackhammering in my chest. Eyes are super wide, like panicky, looking around like you know, like when you're like startled awake and you're like, oh, I got to get away. Whatever just woke me up. Except it's worse because I also got to get away from whatever's in my nightmare. Like that whole time I would have been doing like everything I could just to like move away from whatever terrifying thing was what I was seeing in the moment, you know, and probably like it's that like dreamy molasses feeling like where you can't actually go. So, yeah, I'm looking around and not really seeing the people around me.
Perfect. And that's where we'll end the backstory.
Awesome.
Ah, perfect.
Oh, fucking Far Realm. Taking a perfectly nice memory and ruining it.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening. Like, rate, review, subscribe, you know all the stuff. If you haven't, please do. That being said, a huge thanks to our Patreon supporters. This episode, you heard Begench Begeju with Neon City, Big City Big Dreams by Moses Harris Jr., Cathedral and Monolithic by Nihilor. All right, all, looks like it's geared up to be pretty mild winter. Well, I hope it's good where you're at. All right, bye-bye.